Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Make sure you leave us a five-star review on iTunes. That would be great. You can email us with any advertising inquiries or basketball questions at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook at LockedOnBulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. So, Cody, have we figured out the order yet of speakers for the Paul Zipser jersey retirement ceremony?
Sean is a huge Paul Zipser fan.
Paul Zipser hive.
Paul had 7 points in his Bulls debut, a 115-108 preseason loss, second game of the preseason for the Bulls. And I just said before we started recording, I said, well, this is pretty much what we do every time. Sean, like, what are we going to talk about? Sean wanted to know the order.
Paul Zipser hive
at the retirement ceremony.
Paul Zipser hive. It's going to be a thing.
Retirement or Hall of Fame ceremony?
Both.
Okay.
Why not both?
Okay. If Paul Zipser can play defense this season, he might start being on a track to play for the Bulls and be on a path of relevance, per se, because the Bulls could use some defenders, Sean.
So, on a serious note, I'm starting to get a little, like, legitimately worried about Nikola Mirotic. I don't know about you, Cody, but he has looked bad the last two preseason games, and it wasn't just, like, he was missing open looks that you hope are going to go down at some point. He has looked lost. He's looked uncomfortable on both ends of the floor. He had a couple of good defensive plays tonight, but overall, he just has not been good.
Yeah, he's shot now 1 of 7 in each preseason game, 0 of 5 on three-pointers against the Pacers. Again, just looked out of sorts offensively. Had a stretch of two consecutive plays on both ends of the court early in his stretch, including defense, and then was basically gone for the rest of the entire game against the Pacers, and he played 24 minutes.
So he started.
Opportunity did start, as Fred hinted at. And Taj Gibson, again, played quality basketball in his, I think, 15-minute role or so, more limited. But we're two games into the preseason, and Taj Gibson has a big lead on the power forward starting position if you go by merit. Once again, the Bulls don't want to have to go by merit. They want Nico to at least play close to Taj's capabilities, just generally speaking, talent-wise and production-wise, and hopefully start him for the good of the offense. But right now it's so far of a gap there that there's really no choice.
And honestly, Bobby Portis and Paul Zipser might be ahead of Nico if we're going off of merit. Portis had kind of a rough first game against the Bucks. He looked good tonight, I thought.
He had 6 points, 5 rebounds, in only 16 minutes. So, yeah. You know, a little
bit
more
looked more comfortable.
Yeah, and that's a big key with Nico. It's not just the production. Like, I don't know why he wouldn't look comfortable either, but he's making bad decisions when he puts the ball on the floor, looks to do anything more than a swing pass, basically. Like, he's driving into the lane, and at that point, he's making bad decisions if he beats his first guy, if they run him off the three-point line. Or if he is shooting, he's missing his three-pointers right now. And again, we've rehashed this 100 times. The Bulls' backcourt, subpar three-point shooters historically, not great reason to think they're going to, even if they could get to average, that would be historically helpful for the Bulls, I think. And there's not a lot of expectation that that's even going to happen. So they need Nico. But, like, I mean, Fred Hoiberg's offense is suited for Nico better than, like, Tom Thibodeau's was when Nico was a rookie, you know what I mean? But, like, it's tailor-made for Nico, and he's not doing anything with it. And at this point, it's like, why? Other than inconsistency and not being a good enough basketball player and decision-maker right now is the only answer you can settle on. And again, two preseason games, so take it with the degree of grain of salt that you want, but doesn't really matter a lot. The Bulls are 0-2, but it does matter if Nico keeps playing poorly.
He's getting plenty of opportunities to succeed. In his first year under Thibodeau, you know, it was definitely an argument you could make that he was just not consistent enough because he wasn't getting enough opportunities. He got the starting spot at the beginning of last season, kind of played himself out of it within the first month, and had a pretty good end of the season. But then this year, you know, he's going to get opportunities because, like we said, the Bulls' best interest would be for him to get the starting power forward spot because his skill set fits them better, but he is just not taking advantage of the opportunities. I'm starting to get a little worried that this is just kind of the player he is.
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, Fred's offense is largely predicated at this point on whether how good of a shooter Nico can be, how consistent he can be from night to night. And I'm not saying he has to score 17 points tonight, but the threat of his three-point shooting and his ability, if they run him off the line, to make a good decision, make the right pass, to keep the offense flowing, to give others a chance to cut to the hoop or find space, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, to do what they do best, open up a little room for Rondo to operate or get the defense kind of in a trail position, chaotic position. That's where Rondo can brilliantly see the court and take advantage. Like, that matters to Fred Hoiberg's offense a whole lot. And you have to keep in mind, too, Fred isn't sure yet, like, exactly how this Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Rondo backcourt's going to shake out. So when you have question marks at the four as well, like, all of this gets harder in every single regard for him. And again, this is what Fred gets paid $5 million a year to figure out when it comes to basketball geometry and X's and O's. But I'm just saying, it is getting more difficult when Nico gives nothing. And Taj is the best answer there, but Taj clogs the lane up a little bit more, has a completely different role. That defense sucks into the paint off the three-point line a little bit more.
Right. Two guys I was very, very impressed with tonight off the bench. One was Doug McDermott, who in the last game, he had kind of a shaky first half, played better in the second half, but mostly he was just missing a lot of open looks. Tonight he shot 3-for-6 from three-point range, looked pretty comfortable out there. I was pretty encouraged by him. I'm a lot less worried about him than I am about Nico. And then the other one is Spencer Dinwiddie, who I think with Denzel Valentine out pretty firmly has the lead over Jaren Grant in the race to get those backup point guard minutes.
Yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie had 19 points, I believe, and he went hard to the hoop on several occasions. Shot 9 of 13 for the field, but like he wasn't scared. He's like, he's got a guy on him, and he's going to take him off the dribble whenever he can. He went hard, got up and down the court well, made good decisions with the basketball for the most part. And I mean, he was finishing when he got near the rim there. He shot 0 of 3 from three-point range too, so like when he was shooting two-pointers, he was converting basically. And Spencer Dinwiddie, like, I'm assuming his Twitter game and flow is just going to be spectacular after this 19-point performance.
His Twitter game has been pretty strong.
It's hilarious. He's always asking where he should get deep-dish pizza, where he should get tacos, all these existential life questions that you run into on a daily basis, just navigating downtown Chicago or whatnot. Spencer Dinwiddie's always asking for help on Twitter, always making comments.
He's a man of the people.
He's up to date on the latest, the Twitter game, the Twitter buzz topics, everything that's trending. So keep an eye on that. He'll have a few things
Spencer
to say.
Spencer Dinwiddie is on top of the trending topics, and Spencer Dinwiddie is a trending topic for the
Bulls. I mean, MLB playoffs tonight, Bulls preseason. I don't know if that gained a lot of steam outside of, you know, like
the people who listen to this podcast.
Exactly.
Because I'm not even saying outside of Chicago, because everybody in Chicago is talking about the Cubs who have played their first playoff game tomorrow.
Yeah, they certainly do there, but yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie, good, I guess second impression would probably be the best way to put it.
He looks
good.
Second
preseason game with the Bulls after the offseason trade. But yeah, he's looked more comfortable with the ball than Jaren Grant. And again, we keep coming back to some of these things, like, it's not rocket science. Even a casual average basketball fan who just tunes into some of this would be like, oh, that person looks like he knows what he's doing out there. That person doesn't. Like, that's kind of a little reflective of where the Bulls are in this stage, you know? I know that sounds very elementary with us talking about the NBA here, but sometimes that's what it looks like when Nico's out there not making good decisions with the ball. Jaren Grant doesn't look as comfortable as possible. Some of the guys, Bobby, struggled a little bit in the preseason opener. So just to see them kind of act normal was a little better for the Bulls. Did want to say, though, back to that original point, perimeter defense, Sean, is going to be problematic if the first two preseason games are any indication.
Oh, their defense is atrocious. They're gonna have to score a lot of points because they're not gonna hold teams below 100 points a lot.
Yeah, the Robin Lopez, Taj Gibson,
another solid night from Robin, by the way.
Pairing down low can work defensively, but they can only do so much. And that's saying if Taj does start and if Nico starts, that's a worst defender there. Mm-hmm. But, like, they're only still going to be able to do so much if Rondo, D-Wade, Jimmy Butler, Doug McDermott, anyone else they want to trot out on the perimeter, don't stop penetration. You know what I mean? Like, the Pacers got where they wanted to generally in this game, you know? And, I mean, it's Monte Ellis, Jeff Teague. These are guys that have gone off the dribble a lot in their careers, a lot of pick and rolls. And, I mean, these are kind of guys that can slash to the hoop, you know, give you problems. They're quick guys. But at the same time, like, these aren't top five point guards in the NBA. This isn't the Cavs. Like, the Bulls have to do more on the perimeter, and maybe Jimmy and D-Wade and Rondo, no. Second preseason game, I don't care about defense. Not going that hard. But at the same time,
Jimmy also only played holes. 12 minutes tonight, it's worth pointing out.
Yeah, that's very true. So again, don't read in a ton to these things, but we expect the Bulls' perimeter defense to be bad, probably, and through two preseason games, it's been bad.
Yeah, it has. So that's probably about enough about that game. There's a couple more things I wanted to touch on. One, just to touch on this briefly, not hard Bulls news necessarily, but hard NBA news that could be very impactful. Earlier today, Woj on The Vertical reported that the NBA and the NBA Players Association are both optimistic that they're going to get a new CBA hammered out before the December 15th deadline to opt out, and that if that were to happen, that means there's not going to be a lockout next summer, which means everything is going to go on uninterrupted, and we're not going to have a repeat of the 2011 offseason where we just have no idea when there's going to be basketball again, so that's good.
Very good. Great for NBA fans.
Great for us.
Great for us to have content, keep that podcast flowing next year, you know, and not have to just make things up. But bad for the people at, like, Rucker Park who wanted to see Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony go for, like, 79 points in, like, 15 minutes of basketball. Isn't that what happened all the time in 2011 or whatever?
Well, right. Everybody was all playing out at Drew League in L.A. You know, guys, you know, Jamal Crawford had his pro, more of those pro-am games with Seattle guys.
he's just hanging, like, 89 points just in these meaningless exhibition basketball
games. Like Nate Robinson and Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, what were the couple points? One of the rookie scale contract, it sounds like, will pay rookies probably a little bit more is one of the things the players union wants.
That was one, and the other one that Woj said is probably going to be likely to be in the CBA is the addition of a couple of two-way roster spots on each roster that are at NBA/D-League, which is going to, you know, create some more jobs for the union, which they like, but also, you know, encourage greater use of the D-League, which I think is going to be good for the game long-term. And, of course, the Windy City Bulls tip off their inaugural season on November 11th at Hoffman Estates.
Yeah, was there any word on, I haven't heard, maybe you read more closely, the max contract, like, blowing that percentage up more so LeBron could get paid, like, $50 million, or having, like, a designated franchise player tag like the NFL.
I mean, these are the two things that we talked about already are the first specifics that we've even heard reported, because, like, throughout this whole process, my impression is that Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts basically both agreed to not negotiate their labor agreement through the media, and so you're not seeing any real, like, reports, like, sources say that the NBA is really holding out for this, or that the players' union is drawing a line in the sand about, like, the age limit or any of this stuff. I think the fact that Woj is reporting these two things makes it seem like both sides are in agreement on it, and they're both kind of okay with putting it out there because it's not one side's agenda or the other.
Yeah, that's very,
so
very true.
This is encouraging. I think, you know, as NBA fans first, and also as people who cover the NBA, having a lockout would not be good for any of us. So it seems, obviously nothing's done until it's done, but it seems like it's heading in the direction where we're not going to have a lockout, and it's going to be seamless. So that's good.
Jimmy Butler, I don't know what he'd do all his time. He'd have to spend it with, like, his goldfish if they locked him out. You know what I mean?
Well, he can start training for football, hang out with Denarius Thomas and Antonio Brown.
What have you thought of Jimmy through two games? He was supposed to get in the second half. I don't think he did.
He didn't. No, he only played 12 minutes.
Yeah, Fred had hinted that he would play him in the second half, then didn't. Dwayne Wade did get in more minutes, some second half action. So he's working his way up a little bit more toward 20 minutes and to get probably, what, 30 minutes in the regular season or so?
Yeah, something like that. Jimmy, the thing I've nearly noticed about Jimmy is that he's been a lot more aggressive. And this is something that I don't think he's talked about it, but Doug McDermott talked about this a couple weeks ago at practice, that Jimmy was going to be a lot more aggressive trying to draw contact and draw fouls and get to the free throw line, sort of the way James Harden has been doing the last couple of years. He shot 4 free throws tonight in 12 minutes, and he shot
a lot. I think 9 in the opener.
I think 9 in the opener, and he only played 15 minutes.
Yeah, if Jimmy can do that, that takes care of some of the offensive concerns, I think. Like,
right.
The Bulls just have to find a way to get efficient points. I mean, layups, free throws, and open three-pointers are the three most efficient ways to score points in basketball. So if the Bulls are going to be bad at three-pointers and the rim's going to be clogged, Jimmy and Dwayne Wade drawing fouls. Clutch. Big.
Well, he might be able to take some of that pressure off of Wade, because Wade throughout his career has made a living basically getting to the free throw line and drawing a lot of contact, but Wade is getting older and maybe he doesn't want to abuse his body that much. Jimmy's a lot younger and maybe he's more willing to take on that mantle. That would be an encouraging thing for the Bulls.
Yeah, 2006 NBA Finals. Maybe we should ask Mark Cuban what he thinks about Dwayne Wade going to the basket.
Let me message him on Cyberdust.
Mark Cuban still holds a grudge at Dwayne Wade getting what he would view as approximately 1,000 free throws in that series to help the Heat come back and win D-Wade's first title in Miami when he's back with Shaq. But what's on tap for the Bulls, Sean? Saturday, Pacers again. Nothing like that home-and-home across 3 days from Chicago to Indianapolis.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been told they're going to practice tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see who starts at power forward. I imagine it won't be Nico again after the way he played tonight.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, if you're Fred, I feel like because he did gift-wrapped him that starting job last year, like, I think you know what you're going to get out of Taj. So if you just keep starting Nico, like, maybe that's okay. And if it's disastrous, you can plug Taj in to the starting lineup on opening night and not think anything of it. Is that within the realm of possibility? I don't know.
I mean, maybe. I mean, we'll ask him tomorrow at practice. We'll see what he has to say about that. But, I mean, the Nico thing is concerning. I mean, I don't want to completely write off the guy's career after two bad preseason games, but you were hoping, especially because Fred keeps talking about how consistent he's been in practice, you want to hopefully see a little bit more of that in these games. So far, they're not seeing it.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, we're delving deeply into this second preseason game, but we're relaying you, the Bulls harbor many of these same concerns. You know what I mean? Yeah. Privately, they can't come out and say Nico's inconsistent and we can't count on him. But right now, they're concerned that he's been inconsistent and they can't count on him. So this is what they're facing as well as they go into this season again. This was a team that was just, I mean, haphazardly put together in some ways. Again, the plan on, like, morning of July 2nd had nothing to do with Dwayne Wade.
I think
at that
they were
point.
Still, like, I think their big offseason move, I think at that point, was still they were planning on going all out to try to re-sign Etuan Moore.
Exactly. And I think that was July 2nd night. It was a Friday night, I think, when Etuan Moore signed with
New Orleans Pelicans.
And then news broke that the Bulls were in some discussions with Dwayne Wade, and everyone thought, oh, leverage for D-Wade in Miami.
Well, no, the Rondo thing happened first.
Oh, yeah, the meeting, yeah.
Well, no, right. Rondo agreed on July 3rd.
Okay.
And then I think
And he met with Fred the day before or whatnot, with the much-heralded 3-hour meeting.
Well, right, because we saw that picture somebody took on Twitter
at the airport
where he had, like, the Bulls iPad cover. But I remember this because I was, like, on my way to Soldier Field for a Guns N' Roses concert when the Rondo stuff broke, and that was on July 3rd. And I think the next day, it was, like, because July 4th was the day Durant went to the Warriors. So yeah. I think July 5th or July 6th. July 6th was the day that Wade...
Yeah, it was a Wednesday night.
It was the Wednesday night because the Thursday morning of the 7th, that was when all the signings would be official and Rondo signed, and we went to his press conference, and before it happened, Gar said, look, we can't talk about the Wade signing on record yet because it's not official.
Yeah, and, I mean, just getting back there to the point, though, like, again, this team just has so many questions at this point, and we're talking so much just on offense, and, like, it's the defense through two games that's more concerning, you know what I mean?
The defense has not been good.
We've spent so much time these parts offensively and what level they can get them to, and that's probably right now not even necessarily the biggest concern. But we'll keep you updated on as much Bulls news as possible here in the coming days. And next pod, I think, probably dropping sometime
Sunday.
On Sunday, referencing the third preseason game on Saturday night and what comes out of that. And, of course, we'll keep an eye on that Nico storyline who starts at power forward. That provides much of the intrigue right now. As always, you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, basketball-related questions. Always welcome. those so much. They help drive the podcast, and you guys have a lot of great ideas that we can spitball on even off the top of our head there. Find us on Twitter, at Hyken, at Cody Westerland, and at Locked On Bulls. And most of all, as always, please subscribe to us.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and tell your friends to subscribe. You can also find us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush. Check out Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Any of the great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe to The Athletic in order to read my work on the Bulls. Check out 670thescore.com to read Cody's coverage of the team. And we will be back with you next week.